Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
If you have your Bible, go ahead and grab it, stand to your feet, and turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4. We're going to conclude our series on being marked by the presence of God, and I want to remind you of something that I taught a while ago and I try to reemphasize every now and then, and that is the LEAN acronym, that as I open the Word today and we look at it together, that you would lean into the Word of God. That word LEAN, the acronym, the L stands for listen. You know, you can't, if you don't go beyond that point, then there's really no point in wasting your time. It's 10:55. You might as well leave right now if you're not going to listen, okay? Go ahead and make up your mind right now. I'm here to listen. And then E stands for engage. I would really appreciate if you would engage with me today, that it would feel like we're working through this together here. And it's not just me talking to you, but that hopefully we're learning and we're talking together as we go through it. The A stands for apply. Be looking for ways to apply what God put in His Word into your life. This book may not have been written to you, but it was written for you, for your instruction, for your guidance, for your correction, for our training in righteousness, that we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then the N stands for notate. You can take notes on your phone or on the back of a connection card or, you know, in a notebook, or you can scan the QR code on the seat back in front of you and get the notes and follow along. But lean into the Word of God today so that it can have full effect in your life. Amen. Acts chapter 4, we are going to read verse 13 together. This is just like Wednesday night. We read one verse and then unpacked it. We're just going to read one verse tonight or this morning. Normally, I have like a long text, but today I felt like the Lord just wanted me to hone in on this one verse, Acts chapter 4, verse 13. And I'm going to, once we get going, fill you in on the backstory of everything that has taken place to this point. It says in Acts 4:13, now when they, speaking of the Sadducees and the scribes, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. I want to say that one more time. They realized that they had been with Jesus. We're going to be talking today about being marked by the presence of God. These two mighty men that we hold in high esteem as we should, apostles of the faith, Peter and John. They were uneducated, they were untrained, but yet very educated and trained men looked at them and marveled and perceived that they'd been spending time with Jesus. Amen? Let's pray today. Father, I thank you for your word, and I ask that you would help me to unpack it today in a way that is clear and effective. I ask that you would empty me of me, fill me fresh anew with your Holy Spirit, because the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Let he who has ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What I'm going to do is a little bit maybe unconventional for the way I normally go about things, but I'm going to go ahead and give you the three main points for today's sermon now, okay? There's three main points, and those three points are what being marked by the presence of God will produce in your life. There's three things that I want to uncover and talk about today, because I truly believe that just like Peter and John, it was obvious that they had been with Jesus. In our life, it should be obvious that we have been with Jesus. When you go to work or tomorrow, when you go to lunch this afternoon, it should be obvious that you've been with Jesus by the way that you talk and you treat people and you conduct yourself. And so these three points that being marked by the presence of God brings are number one, boldness, number two, miraculous power, and number three, kingdom advancement. That is, we allow God's presence to transform, not just have a momentary experience, but we really allow God's presence to transform us, we are marked and begin to walk in the world with boldness instead of insecurity and insufficiency. We can have confidence of who we are in Christ Jesus because we know that God is with us and God is for us. Number two, we can walk in miraculous power, seeing God touch and transform lives by working through us in his Holy Spirit. And third, kingdom advancement, that the kingdom would grow, souls would be saved, things would be changed, and our community would look different because the kingdom of God has grown in this region. So Acts 3 tells us that Peter and John were on their way to the temple at the hour of prayer, and they came to the gate beautiful. Some people call this the Golden Gate or the Eastern Gate. I was just in Jerusalem last month, and they showed us this gate that is blocked up, but that's not even the actual gate that they would have been at, because that gate was built in the 5th or 6th century by the Ottomans. This gate is actually underground currently. And so they were walking to the temple, and they were on their way to give time to God in prayer. They were going to be joining with other people at the temple there in Jerusalem, and they were going to be praying. Let me just attack a side note for just a moment. If you want to encounter the presence of the Most High God and walk in the power of God, then you must be a person of prayer. Yeah. Hear me on this. You will not encounter and live in and be marked by the presence of God if you are a person that has an aversion to prayer. If you do not spend time talking with God, communing with God, corporately and privately, if you want to be marked by his presence, think about the people that we have spoken on the last 2 weeks, Jacob and Moses. Last week we talked about Moses. What was he doing when God's presence marked him so that when he came off of Mount Sinai, his face began to shine? He was on the mountain communing with God. He was talking with him. The Bible says, as a man talks to his friend. That's a little tip on how to pray. Talk to God as if you were talking to a friend, because Jesus said, no longer do I call you slaves, because a slave doesn't know what his master is doing, but I have called you friend. You have been given that invitation to go to Jesus Christ as a friend and say, I'm coming to you and I'm talking with you and I want to commune with you. What was Jacob doing when God showed up and wrestled with him and touched his hip and put it out of socket and changed his name? Is he was there and he met with who? With God. Yeah. And he talked with God. Peniel, meaning face of God. If you want to be a person of the presence of God, you must be a person of prayer. Presence will never manifest in a prayerless person. The early church, as you read the book of Acts, they had a gravitational pull towards prayer. Yeah. The American church is the exact opposite. Yeah. I love what I believe it's Jim Cimbala said. If you want to know how many people love the church, look at the attendance on Sunday morning. If you want to know how many people love the pastor, look at the attendance on Sunday night. If you want to know how many people love Jesus, look at the attendance of the prayer meeting. Because if we have Sunday service, it's always a greater magnitude than Wednesday night or Tuesday night prayer from 6 to 7, which we have every single Tuesday night. And I and my family are going to be there more often. Baseball season kept us, and traveling has kept us from it, but we're going to be there more often. I hope that you will join us as well. Because the early church, you read Acts, and they prayed together. They prayed together. They prayed together. You'll find at the end of Acts chapter 4, they prayed together for boldness. There was a prayer meeting in Acts chapter 12 where Peter had been cast in prison, and the church called a prayer meeting. Yeah. And an angel led Peter out of it. If we want to see God work in ways that we could only imagine, we're going to have to come back to a place of prayer and realizing it's not just programs, it's not just organization, it's not just having a nice building, but when the church begins to pray and call upon God, we will see God do what only God can do. They had a gravitational pull. You know why? Because they saw and they understood both the physical and the spiritual benefits of prayer. They didn't see it as boring. They saw it as an active thing where they got to commune with the living God. But you know what prayer takes? Prayer takes discipline. But it moves from a point of duty to delight the more that you do it. It does take discipline to start a prayer time, to wake up every morning and say, God, I'm going to talk to you. And if you are having a difficulty with that, we're actually going to launch a series in the next coming weeks called Daily Devoted. And all we're going to talk about for a few weeks is daily devotion. I believe that every Christian should have a devotional time with God every single day. Because he's God. He's not just a genie in a bottle. He's not just a pie in the sky. He wants to have a relationship with you. And you develop that relationship, not just by going to church, but by having devotional time with God alone. He who abides in the secret place of the Most High shall, or he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I want that for you. I want that for me. But we've got to spend that time in the secret place with God. But discipline, you know what it does? It breeds desire. So here's what I would say to you about starting reading the word or praying is do it until you feel like doing it. Because sometimes you won't feel like doing, you won't feel like praying. But if you continue to pray, you'll begin to see the benefits of prayer, and then eventually you will feel like doing it. So on Peter and John's way to the temple, what does it say they're doing? They're going to the temple to pray, not to sing, not to hear a sermon, to pray. They're on their way at the ninth hour, which would be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And on their way, they pass by a man that the scripture makes us privy to the fact that he has been crippled since birth. He has never once walked. And chapter 4 tells us that he was over 40 years old. So for over 40 years, he's been being carried daily to the gate, beautiful. And the reason he sat at the gate is because of his infirmity, he was not able to go into the temple. Because he was considered unclean. So there was a place that he could not go past. So he would sit at the gate for everybody that was coming through, and he would ask for alms, and he would beg. And Peter and John, had they stayed home that day, this man might have died a crippled beggar. But because they were walking to prayer at an appointed time, they came across this guy. You know, most people go to church to get something, and that's okay. I hope you're here to get something today. I hope you're here to get a touch from God. I hope you're here to get healing. I hope you're here to get wisdom and instruction and fellowship and encouragement. But I think we also should be asking, what can I go to church to give, not just what can I go to church to get? Because Peter and John were on their way to church, and they weren't so focused on what they were going to get at the prayer meeting that they forgot to give to the man that was sitting at the gate beautiful. And so they're walking by, and what I realize from this passage is that the discipline of going to prayer at the hour of prayer at the temple put them in place and in position for divine encounter. So note this today. Discipline puts you in position for divine encounters. If you want God to move in your life and to use you for the people that you go to a job site or the people that live next door to you or the people that are sitting in front of you right now or the person that's going to be seated at the table next to you at lunch, and you're saying, God, I just want my life to be an opportunity for you to use me to encourage people and to love people and to lead people to you and to pray with people and to see healing come in people's lives, then you're going to need the discipline of going to prayer, which will put you in the position for divine encounters for God to use you. Because Peter and John would have not gotten to minister to this guy had they stayed home. But because they exercised spiritual discipline, they got an opportunity to be used by God in a powerful way. So having a lifestyle of devotion to God will amplify the possibility of being used by God. Yeah. I think that's where a lot of people are, and they're like, I want to be used by God. In fact, if you would just be honest and open enough to say, I want to be used by God, but would you raise your hand? I hope that's every person's desire in here, saying, God, I want you to use me. I want you to use me on my job. I want you to use me in my home. I want you to use me at church. I want you to use me everywhere I go. Well, listen to this. Having a lifestyle of devotion to God will amplify your opportunity to be used by God. Here's why. You cannot give what you do not possess. Yeah. And we gain in prayer and we gain in the reading of the word what we need to minister when the opportunity presents itself. So as you spend time in his presence, guess what? His presence begins to show through you. Yeah. That just makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't though their talents, their abilities, their godliness, or their discipline that healed this man. Discipline simply put them in the opportunity, but it wasn't their discipline, because there's many people that, let's be honest, are way more disciplined than you and than me, even when it comes to religious, spiritual matters. In fact, in chapter 3, verse 12, everyone begins to look at Peter and John and marvel at these men. And Peter goes, hey, I want to address the fact from a place of humility. I want to say it was not our godliness that healed this man. It was not us that healed him. It was God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, who sent Jesus to this world. That is who healed this man. So it wasn't their discipline. However, their discipline did put them in position to be used by God to perform a miracle and advance the kingdom. Acts chapter 4, verse 13, which we read a moment ago, says that the rulers and the scribes saw the boldness of Peter and the boldness of John. And even though they realized these men are uneducated and they're untrained, they marveled because they observed that they had been with Jesus. What does that mean? They'd been marked by the presence of Jesus Christ. They'd been in the presence of the Messiah. For 3.5 years, they'd been living with him, serving him, conversing with him, listening to him, observing how he lived life, traveling down the road, eating with him. They'd spent the last 3.5 years just being consumed in an atmosphere of the presence of God. And now these men are saying, it's obvious that you have been with Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Why? Because there was boldness and because a miracle took place and because the kingdom of God was advanced. So it was obvious that their life had been marked by the time they spent with Jesus. Now let's talk about these 3 points. Number one, boldness. It says in that passage that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, that word boldness is in the Greek, it just means confidence. When they saw the confidence that these men had. You see, we see as Peter addresses them, we see this even early on in chapter 3 when they're walking to the temple at the hour of prayer and they see this man and he is begging alms. Peter, in boldness, says, "Look at us." And the guy fixes his eyes upon him. And Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none. But such as I do have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." That is boldness. Yeah. You see, the way that we approach it so often now is, can I pray with you? I'm not saying that's wrong or it's bad. That may be an entry point. But we say, I'm going to pray that God would heal you. Peter said, I am going to give you healing because I have healing inside of me because I have the Holy Spirit living with me and God has given me unction in this moment. Now, here's the thing that you need to know. You can't just walk around Walmart telling people they're going to get healed. Peter had an unction from the Holy Spirit. You see, if it worked this way, I'd go to the hospital right now and heal everybody that was in there. Peter had an unction from the Holy Spirit in that moment to heal him, but he operated not in trepidation, but in boldness to say, look at me. I don't have any gold. I don't have any silver. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you can receive strength in your ankles to stand up and walk. That's boldness. That's confidence. You see, Peter's boldness, though, it was not self-sustained. It didn't come from Peter. It came from the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of him. Because as you keep reading, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak to the people. So this boldness didn't come from Peter. It came from the Holy Spirit inside of him, which is the presence of God. I want to say this to you because I think we've preached this the wrong way for far too long. You don't have to muster up boldness. You don't have to try to be more bold. You just need to go do something great for God. Do something big. Take a risk. Take a step of faith. That is preaching you being able to do it in your own strength, and you cannot. What you need to do is allow the presence of God to minister through you to people. Because it's only him that can heal people. It's not you being bold and saying, look at me, you person in a wheelchair, get up and walk. No, it was as the Holy Spirit moved through Peter, he had unction and anointing to do that in somebody's life. So you don't have to try to do it because so often we try to be more confident in our own strength and self-trust always leads to failure. Yeah. But the Psalm says, he who trusts in the Lord shall never be put to shame. So when these two simple fishermen stood before the most educated men in all of their political system. The Sadducees, Pharisees, and scribes were the most educated men in the Jewish system. And so they're standing there, and they said they're uneducated, they're untrained, but they're also unintimidated. How is it? Because I don't know about you, but if I sat around a table with people that had graduated Harvard and Yale, I would probably be a little timid to say anything because these men are far smarter than I am. And that would be the equivalent of what's taking place in this room. Peter and John are uneducated, probably don't even read that well. And here are men that are scholars, that are leaders, that are well-trained, well-versed, and they go, they're not intimidated by us. They're not scared of us. There's boldness and there's confidence inside of them. And it didn't come in what they knew in a natural sense. It came from the presence of God being inside of them and the fact that they had been marked with Jesus Christ and the things that they had seen and they'd heard and they'd known and they'd experienced and they'd felt when they were with Jesus kept them from being intimidated by the most intimidating men in all of the country. Yeah. So it was obvious that they hadn't studied at the same level as everyone in the room, but that didn't leave Peter and John feeling inferior or insignificant. They saw they were bold and confident despite the fact that they were uneducated, untrained. And you know what they chalked it up to? They've been with Jesus. Yeah. They've been with Jesus. I believe that a lack of boldness in your life is an indicator that there's a lack of the presence of God in your life. Because when you come and you spend time with God, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Yeah. It says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. Hebrews tells us, do not cast away your confidence because in it there's great reward. God wants you to live a life of boldness. Yeah. David could say this in Psalm chapter 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. That's the key to it all right there. David wasn't unintimidated or not afraid because he said, I've got my sling with me that I killed the giant with because I've got this or I've got that. No, he said, I am not intimidated to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I have confidence and boldness because my shepherd is with me. And in the same way, Peter and John, they were unintimidated and they had boldness to both heal this man and stand before these highly educated and seemingly powerful men because they realize the power that is inside of us is greater than the power that you hold on this earth. Because you may have a worldly concept of power, but we have a kingdom reality of power living inside of us. They had boldness. The second thing that we see when they're marked by the presence of God is miraculous power. I want you to know today, and I want to declare, that miracles are not extinct. They're not like the dodo bird. You guys familiar with the dodo bird? They have not gone out. They have not stopped. God's power isn't depleted. He's still the same God today that he was when Peter looked at that man and said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He's still the same God today that he was when Elijah took that young boy by the hand and called him to come back to life. He's still the same God, and he does the same types of miracles. I don't think for a second that miracles went out at the end of what historians call the apostolic age. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The exploits recorded in Acts are there to stimulate our belief in the power of God. So Peter and John were common people, ordinary people, who served an extraordinary God. You may be an ordinary person. I'm just a store clerk. I'm just a school teacher. I'm just a stay-at-home mom. No, you are a common person who serves an extraordinary God who wants to work miraculous power through you. Now, when they encountered this man sitting at Gate Beautiful, he was confronted with a miracle that changed his life. Here's the question we have to ask, though. Does that mean that it's going to happen every time? No. It's not going to happen every time. In fact, the scripture is very clear that this man has been carried to the Gate Beautiful every day for almost 40 years. This was not the first time Peter and John had walked past this gate going to the temple at the hour of prayer. But for some reason today, something was different. Yeah. For some reason today, when he asked alms, Peter said, I don't have any money, but I got something else that I can give to you. Just because it doesn't happen every time doesn't mean it won't happen sometime. Yeah, that's where we have to live. Because some people discount the power of God there because they're like, well, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. That doesn't mean it won't happen. Just because it didn't happen today doesn't mean that it won't happen tomorrow. Just because it doesn't happen tomorrow doesn't mean that it won't happen the next day. The goal for you and I as believers that are spirit-filled and are walking and trying to live our life with God is this. We're going to be instant in season and out of season. We're going to live marked with the presence of God, having spent time with Him, walking in Him. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God, so that God has marked us and we can minister the presence of God at any time, at any place, and walk in His miraculous power. Our God wants to do extraordinary, unexplainable things through your life, but you might say, oh, but not me. Not me. Maybe the pastor, maybe the deacons, maybe Peter, maybe John. That's exactly what the enemy would love for you to believe. That's exactly the type of thinking that will keep us from walking in the miraculous power that God has for us. God wants His healing presence to be administered to the hurting, to the broken, to the despondent souls that are around us. And when Jesus was on this earth, miracles happened. Yeah. And His presence is living inside of each and every one of us. Miracles should be commonplace in the life of the believer. It may not always look like a lame person receiving the strength to walk, but don't let that thought diminish you or diminish your ability to walk in miraculous power. God wants to use you. Miracles may look completely different. It may look like you providing groceries for someone. That's a miracle for them, that they couldn't afford them. It may look like you just being there for a neighbor and watching their child when they have to go with their mom to the hospital. I don't know what it's going to look like, but God wants to use you. It may look like people getting healed. It may look like something that you can't explain it. It goes against the laws of nature, and you would have to say, and everyone would have to say, only God could have done that. But when we live marked with the presence of God, miraculous power is flowing in our life. Yeah. The third thing I want to talk to you about today, and I know it's hot and we're almost done, and then we have a baptism following service today. Gideon Lee is going to get baptized, and so we're going to be under the awning following service, and today, if you want to jump in the trough and get baptized, I would not blame you. I may get in there with them today. Number three, kingdom advancement. I believe that when we live lives that are marked with the presence of God, that God advances His kingdom through us. Especially when we say, I don't want to be marked just so people see me as spiritual, but so that God could be effectively working through my life. That it's not about me, it's about the kingdom advancing. When Peter grabbed the right hand of this man and he lifted him up, the Bible says that strength entered his ankles. And he didn't just walk, he leapt and he praised God. It actually says he went into the temple with them. Do you remember the small detail I told you earlier? He couldn't go in the temple before. He gained access to something that he did not previously have access to when the power of God touched his body. And it's the same way for you and me. When the presence of God comes into us, you have access to things or places that you didn't have access to before. But because God has touched your life and transformed your life, you're able to walk in new power and in new authority and in new blessing and in places that you could not go before that was restricted access. Doors get opened and you can walk into that place because the power of God has come upon you. And so this guy goes throughout the temple, leaping and shouting and dancing and praising God. He didn't care what other people thought. He wasn't worried about if the people in the temple were going to judge him, because he knew what had happened to him was real, and he could not contain his joy and his excitement. He'd been set free, and he wanted to exercise that freedom. You know, some people make light of or have a struggle with how some people worship God. Dancing, kneeling, shouting, clapping, lifting of hands. And I think we could do with a lot more of all of that around here, if I'm just being honest with you guys. I want to encourage you to be free. Why? Because if Jesus has set you free, why are you still acting like you are in chains? God has set us free. Let's celebrate that freedom. This guy didn't go, oh, cool, I can walk. Sweet. I'll see you guys later. Walk home. I'm not going to give you an example of what he probably looked like, but it probably wasn't the coolest thing you've ever seen in your life. Leaping and dancing and praising God. He wanted to exercise the freedom. The Bible says they ran to Solomon's porch. And Peter begins to preach the gospel because a crowd has been assembled. And so Peter lifts up his voice just like he did just a chapter earlier on the day of Pentecost. And he begins to preach Jesus. Now, listen to this. He did not give them a 5-point lecture on how to heal somebody. He preached Jesus to them. Why? Because that is the main goal, is to get people to Jesus, not just to draw a crowd that says we can heal people and we are great and we are awesome and come to our services. And if you too want to be healed, we'll be holding a service next week at such and such place at such and such time. He says the miraculous power of God has drawn people together, and I'm going to use the opportunity to magnify the only one that's worthy to be magnified and declare the name that is above every other name. And I'm not going to preach Peter, and I'm not going to preach John, and I'm not going to preach the first church of so-and-so. I'm going to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, because only through him, the way and the truth and the life, can anyone be saved. And healing your body is great, but finding healing in your soul is so much more important. And so it was the miracle that brought people to the point of salvation. I'm all for miracles. But we have developed a world system in the church that is just hungry for miracles. And I love miracles, but miracles are a byproduct of the kingdom. Jesus is the focal point of the kingdom. I'm all for God moving. I want to see God move in this church. I want to see God move in your life more than anything. But more than that, I want to see you fall in love with Jesus. And that was Peter's focal point. Jesus Christ and him crucified, just like Paul said. If you find yourself in a position in the community and you have a ministry opportunity and you don't know what to say, Jesus is always a good place to start.
That's right.
That's what Peter did.
Yeah.
He just said, you know what? I didn't have time to prepare a sermon, so I'll just tell them about Jesus. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. No Christ in your sermon, sir, then go home and never preach again until you have something worth saying. Jesus has to be the focal point. And as he spoke to these people, the scribes and the Sadducees came and they put them in custody. And they chained the hands of Peter and of John, but the work of God had already taken root in the hearts of people. And they could chain their hands and they could chain their feet, but they could not chain the word of God, because the word of God is not chained. It will accomplish everything that it sets out to do. God had already begun to work in people's hearts. And so they arrest them. In chapter 4, verse 4, it says this: however, even though they'd arrested Peter and they'd arrested John, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. Kingdom advancement. They had boldness, a miracle was performed, and the capitalization point of the miracle was not look at what we did, it's look at who we serve. And they point people to Jesus, and Jesus gets saved, and the community gets transformed, and the kingdom of God is advanced. And if that's not our goal, then we have missed the ship on what God wants to do. Kingdom advancement. This is multiplication of souls. You see, because Peter and John had been with Jesus and his life had marked their life, hundreds, if not thousands, came to believe in Jesus Christ on that day. And they were saved and the kingdom of God was advanced. You see, two chapters ago, because now we've moved into chapter 4. This story first takes place in chapter 3. It moves into chapter 4. That's where they're arrested. It says 5,000 people. The number came to be about 5,000 people. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, it says that about 3,000 souls were saved. So here we are two chapters later and 5,000 souls. That means, I'm sure between Pentecost and this day, some more souls had gotten saved. I don't know how many, but I would have to assume that some had, because the Lord was adding to the church daily those who were being saved, according to the book of Acts chapter 2. So I can't say emphatically that 2,000 people got saved this day, but I can say that it was probably at least a couple hundred, if not 1,000 people got saved when this happened. So I promise you this. If we will walk in the presence of God, souls will be added to the kingdom and his kingdom will be advanced. You know, this purpose and this plan that we see in the Word of God is for every community, ours included. Because when Jesus promises the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus didn't just come for Jerusalem. Jesus didn't just come for Judea. Jesus didn't just come for Samaria. He came for every part of the earth, that the whole globe would be his kingdom, and he reigns eternal as the king. And so that is his plan for our community. You may read this and go, wow, that's so cool. That happened in Jerusalem. What if next week we said, wow, that's so cool. It happened here. Because we all are walking in the same boldness, because same Holy Spirit that empowered Peter and John lives inside of you, or at least you claim. The same power that they walked in, I claim to have. And hopefully we do, because we believe God is not diminished. He's not lost his power, or his ability. I want you to know that it may not happen every day, but it could. Yeah. It could. We should live in anticipation and expectation of being used by God to walk in boldness, miraculous power, and kingdom advancement every single day of our life. And Peter tells him in Acts 3:19, backing up, this is the crux of his message. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the what? The presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. You see, Peter pointed people to the presence because he was a person who'd been marked by the presence of God. His life was no longer the same. He tried to go back to fishing, and it didn't work. He committed his life to serving God and administering his presence. That word refreshing, times of refreshing, it's kairos, not chronos. Kairos is a moment ordained by God. Times of refreshing, that word refreshing means a recovery of breath. When you get in the presence of God, it's going to be like when you walk back in air conditioning today. Whew. In fact, I put my guitar in this room over here after worship, and the AC is working good in that room, and I thought about just preaching from in there today. In fact, we need to test Zach or Brandon or Shane. We need to test, make sure the mic works in there. That way, if next Sunday they haven't come and fixed this by then, I'm preaching from in there, and y'all can sweat. Okay. Some of you guys are like, what a selfish guy. It's a joke, okay? It's just a joke. I'm not actually going to do that. I'll just pray about it. And if the Lord says no, then I won't. Peter had encounters with the presence of God. Therefore, he wanted other people to encounter the presence of God. I just read this morning in the book of Matthew, when two blind men followed Jesus on the road, he'd just left Magdala and he was traveling, and two men cried out to him and he healed them and their blind eyes were opened. Miraculous power was at work in the life of Jesus. And yet he tells them, don't tell anybody. You know what the Bible says in the book of Matthew? So they went and told everybody. Because when God touches your life, you want other people to know. That's why Peter, even in the face of being arrested, preaches the gospel. You know, Peter gets arrested in chapter 4 that we just talked about for preaching the gospel. And he stands before them. They see his boldness, he and John. And they warn them to not preach in this name anymore. You know what Peter does? He goes right back out and preaches in the name of Jesus again. Why? Because he knew that it was real. Do we believe that the presence of God is real? Do we believe that the power of God is real? Do we believe that the kingdom of God is real? Repentance and conversion will bring the removal of sins and will always precede and usher us into the presence of God, which brings times of refreshing. I want you to know you're called to live in that refreshing place, the presence of God. So as I close today, and you can stand to your feet with me, I want to ask you this question. First, before Peter could minister the presence, he had to encounter the presence of God. And I hope you are doing that every single day. But if you're not, if you need a recovery of breath, I want you to know that God's here today to meet with you. The same Jesus that they saw on Peter and John, his Spirit is here today, and he'll meet with you. and he'll bring times of refreshing. All you have to do is repent and allow your life to be converted. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're in this place today and you're saying, I want to repent and I want conversion to take place in my life because I want to live in that recovery of breath. I feel like I'm out of breath and I need the Ruach of God, the breath of God, the pneuma, the Spirit of God to flow in my heart and bring times of refreshing. And I want to be in His presence. And I realize that I'm excluded because I'm like that lame man that spiritually I don't have the strength to walk into the temple and I'm unclean. But I want by the blood of Jesus to be cleansed and purified and empowered by the Spirit to walk in the newness of life. If that's you today, whether you've made a commitment before or you've never made a commitment before, you're saying, I want to repent and be converted that times of refreshing may come and my sins may be blotted out. Would you just raise your hand? I'd love to pray with you. I see that hand. 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 What I want to do is I have two specific altar calls today, and I want to invite you to come. If you lifted your hand for that, or if you're answering to this, you're saying, God, I want you to mark me so that I can be used in boldness, in miraculous power and kingdom advancement. If you raised your hand a moment ago, or those things you're saying, God, I want you to do that in my life, would you come and find a place and just meet with God in the altar right now today? The altar's open. Just say, God, I want to be used. All you have to do is say, God, I surrender myself. I open myself up to you. I give you all that I am for the purpose of your kingdom. God, help me to be bold and to operate in confidence, that I would not shy away from opportunities to administer your presence. God, I want you to use me in miraculous power. I want to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I want to rebuke and command demons to flee. God, I want to see souls added to your kingdom. And I want kingdom advancement at my job and in my neighborhood and in our community and in this church. So God, we're asking that you would mark us with your presence. Just like Moses spoke with you on that mountain and his face shone, his countenance changed. Just like Jacob wrestled with God at Peniel and he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. God, mark us with your presence. Just like Peter and John stood before men that were seemingly much greater than they were in intellect, but they could not deny the fact that they had boldness and they'd been with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, please mark us. God, for those that today need repentance and conversion, that their sins may be blotted out and they can find times of refreshment in the presence of God. Lord, I ask that you would meet with us. I thank you that you are more eager to meet with us than we are to sometimes ask you to come and be with us. And so, Lord, we're just saying simply, come, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you come where you're wanted. Let this house be a Bethany, a place where you're invited, a place where you're welcomed, a place where you're wanted, a place where your presence comes and you transform lives and people have moments and encounters with you that would mark them forever and their life would never be the same because you've come and you visited this place. As Jacob woke up and he said, I'm going to name this place Bethel because surely God was here and I knew it not. Lord, let this be a Bethel. Let it be a Bethany. Bethany is the place where Martha and Mary and Lazarus dwelt and Jesus would come and he'd recline at the table. And the scholars tell us Jesus loved being at Bethany more than anywhere else because of the honor that he received there. He was anointed at Bethany. Lord, we anoint you with worship and with adoration. We praise you. God, we're not just asking you to come for what you can do for us, but we're asking you to come so that we can minister to you and that then you would minister through us. We surrender every aspect of our life to you. And God, we're asking that you would use us in boldness, miraculous power, and kingdom advancement. Forgive us for when we become more earthly minded than spiritually minded. In Colossians, Paul writes and he says, set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. In Romans, he says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. God, may we live spiritually minded, always ready to be used by you. We give ourselves to you. We say, once again, mark us with your presence. Just give the Lord a moment to work. Sometimes we're so uncomfortable with silence, but sometimes it's in the silence that He's speaking. It's in the silence that He's working. It's in the moments where we just slow down, surrender, that He finally works. So just take a moment. Just listen. Let God mark you. Let Him speak to you. Let Him change what He wants to change. Let's just sing this out. Sing, Holy Spirit, You. Actually, if you can just cut that track, Zach, I'm sorry, because it's going to throw us off. Sing this out. Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by Your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by Your presence, Lord. That bridge says, let us become more aware of Your presence. Let us experience the glory of Your goodness. God, we're asking that today. Let us be overcome by Your presence. And let us experience the glory of Your goodness. You know, when Moses encountered the presence of God on Mount Sinai and God hid him in the cleft of the rock and put His hand over his face and passed before him, it says that His goodness passed before him. God, I pray that we would have a fresh revelation of Your goodness. And that out of that we would minister Your presence everywhere that we go. The Bible says everywhere that Your feet tread will be taken as ground for the kingdom. God, let that be so for us as You mark us with Your presence. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Would you lift your hands today and receive this blessing, and then we're going to go right out to the awning and we're going to baptize Gideon. And if you want to get baptized today, we will baptize you. I said that tongue-in-cheek earlier, but I mean it. We will never reject someone wanting to follow the Lord in believer's baptism as long as you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you've confessed Him with your mouth and believed in your heart and you make a profession of faith. So receive this blessing today. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up His countenance upon you. May He keep you in His peace. May He smile all over you. May He put His name upon you and mark you that you are His and you are going to be used and walk in boldness, miraculous power, and kingdom advancement. I speak this blessing over your life today in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Be blessed. Don't forget to join us under the awning today for baptism. Love you guys.